Hi everyone, and welcome back to Solution for Pre-Sales. In this episode, we will discuss the structure of the pre-sales team, a structure that is clear and understandable, where everyone knows their role, what is expected from them, and how they should interact with other employees, both inside and outside the team. A well-functioning structure requires less maintenance and repair. It should be resilient, stable, and of course, efficient. As I mentioned in one of my recent LinkedIn posts, I chose this topic for a reason. A recent victory in the volleyball championship gave me some insights, particularly about the similarities in the team building, functioning, and internal interaction between players. Team sports are very different from individual sports. If we draw analogy with the pre-sales team, we see a combination of both team and individual work. In this episode, I want to focus on the team aspect, specifically the team structure, how to build a team, where to start, the stages to go through, and how the structure helps reveal the best qualities of each employee, thereby improving overall team performance. We'll also discuss how to efficiently structure global teams. As usual, I will present my 10 solutions to help pre-sales leaders build the right structure. A structure that will allow for more efficient and quality work because each employee will be at the right place and focus on the task that suits them best, ready to replace another with a minimum quality loss. So, let's get started. It's not a secret that the beginning of my podcast is a time for a little preamble where I talk about general things. Make yourself comfortable. We'll start with the concept of the structure, what it is, what it serves, and tasks it solves, and how it helps or hinders development. Structure. A structure is an arrangement, an organization of interrelated elements in material objects or a system, based on Wikipedia. According to this definition, the elements are employees united into the team or the system. Now let's talk about the properties of this system and how it helps a group of the employees function as the team. First, each element in the system has its role or roles. The more accurately described the employee's responsibilities, the better. It is also important to highlight the strength of the primary roles of each employee. Depending on the roles, an employee can occupy a specific place in the team structure. Second, the team has clear and effective interaction processes between employees. Everyone understands their place in the hierarchy. 3. It is clear structure with assigned roles. It is easier for the team to adapt to changing demands and increasing or decreasing workloads with existing resources. 4. It minimizes the risk in case of the employee departure or temporary absence. It is clear who will replace them. 5. Prevent employee burnout by having the right number of resources for the requests. 6. A clear understanding of the paths of development and growth for employees takes into account development wishes with the possibility to both vertical and horizontal growth. 7. Defined entry points for all external teams. A well-organized structure does not require concert orchestration or request from the manager. 8. In a team with the right structure and processes, employees have a clear understanding of their area of responsibility within the given task. Pre-sales units. Now that we understand the importance of the structure, we are ready to move on the next stage, defining the roles in the team. Roles are just one of the characteristics that describes each employee. These characteristics indicate the type of work most suitable for the employee. It should also be noted that one employee can have more than one role, which is especially common in small teams. In my teams, I distinguish the following roles. Product expert. This role is characterized by deep product knowledge, a business-oriented role. An employee in this role is usually most effective in conducting demonstration and POCs. They easily identify the client's business needs and understand how they can be demonstrated or addressed in the proposed product or services. Technical expert. Deep understanding of the technical architecture of the solution. The most effective resource in preparing the technical part of the POC. With the knowledge in development and implementation, they can analyze and provide project implementation estimates. Archivist. One of their main skills is organizing information. Most effective is creating and maintaining repositories. Also, helps the teams in creating templates and standardizing the documents. Assist with the final formatting of the documents and presentation when necessary. Analyst. Prepares reports and information on the teamworks and market. Excellent at data visualization. Consults the product team in designing new reports, visualizations, and marketing team in infographics. Presenter. Excellent at presenting information and answering questions online. Works with the marketing department, participate in the exhibitions and marketing videos and the podcasts. Administrator. Assist in all infrastructure-related matters, such as preparing for the POC or demos, managing the technological aspect of the repositories, and updating the demo machines. With extensive hardware knowledge, they prepare the sizing or check sizing provided by professional services. Some might say, listen, but the pre-sales already performs all this task. How can you assign some to one and others to another? I agree. Pre-sales does perform most of these tasks. The question is how? Here is what I mean. We identify the employee's strongest sides and assign roles accordingly. The employee continues to perform all the standard tasks, but in terms of the prioritizing or needing to replace another employee or strengthen the team working on the task, it provides the quick opportunity to add the right resources quickly, rather than just feeling the need by putting someone else on the task. One possible stage of development for an employee can be transitioning from an architect to an expert. By defining the expertise required for this role, we check the structure and see who has this role and select from this pool for the expert position. Versatility versus specialization. This greatly affects team building. If we are talking about employees who perform the same actions and have more or less the same knowledge and skills, it will be one structure, horizontal. But if we are talking about identifying experts and assigning the roles and developing specific skills and knowledge, then we will likely settle on vertical structure. Here are the pros and cons I see in the both approaches, and where it is possible to find the middle ground. Versatile. Advantages. Easier to replace. Balanced workload on employees. Disadvantages. Requires learning a large amount of the knowledge. When delving deeply, requires involvement of the experts from another teams. Now experts. Can lead deep discussion or perform specific tasks at the higher level. Train other employees. Disadvantages. Uneven workload. need to involve several employees to perform the work in the different areas, for example, in the different products. Deciding which team structure fits best is a crucial task for the pre-sales manager. There is no one-size-fits-all solution, as the ideal structure depends on the team's specific stage of development and the unique needs of the organization. For a growing team, I recommend adopting generalist approach. In this setup, team members should have the broad skill set and be capable of handling a wide range of the tasks. This flexibility allows the team to adapt quickly to the changing demands and helps individuals develop a well-rounded expertise. On another hand, for a mature team, it might be beneficial to transition towards specialist or expert setup. In this structure, team members focus on the specific areas of expertise. This can lead to deeper knowledge and greater performance in the pre-sales task. This is the topic for a separate episode, and I will definitely return to it. Stages of structure definition. In the first stage, we determine the level of employees. In our structure, it will be clearly defined who is more experienced and who is less so. Based on this, processes will be built, employees will be assigned to the task, and responsibility will be determined according to the employee's level. For pre-sales, a three-level grading system can be used, which is nothing special comparing to the other teams: junior, regular, and senior. As a result, we have a clear picture of what stage of development our employees are at in our structure. The second stage will be identifying the experts and their subsequent specialization according to knowledge, experience, and skills. As with the first stage, it's very important where that the time spent by the team is used as effectively as possible. For example, experts will be only involved in the certain stages of the sales and generally not participate in the standard basic activities. This approach allows for enough time to maintain and develop their expertise. A reasonable question arises: that should be a ratio of the pre-sales to experts. In my opinion, proportion here is not applicable, unlike the pre-sales to sales ratio. The number depends more on the number of the products and services offered and the role task assigned to the expert. Here are a few examples. Experts can assist with the presentation or prepare the presentation. Experts can consult on RFP questions or answer them. Experts can develop universal script for the demos or provide recommendation for each demo prepared by pre-sale. Moving on, in the case of the global team, regional pre-sales can be either with the overall pre-sale structure or in the regional sales structure. In the latter case, we are unlikely to influence the regional structure as it is determined by the company at the high level. Our task is to clearly describe the overall structure even though regional employees will be outside of it. From my experience, it is not uncommon for the regional pre-sales to be positioned by the regional team only for the client contacts. As soon as it comes to all basic tasks, regional teams tries to transfer everything to the global team. Their arguments boil down not to having enough knowledge, needing more training, and all expertise being in the global team. The task of the pre-sales manager in such a structure is to address the first two arguments: standardize knowledge transfer and conduct regular training for regional employees. It's very important that the regional sales team is familiar with the overall pre-sales structure and the role assigned to the regional pre-sales, and their place and role in the pre-sales processes. Also, it should be considered that the regional pre-sales team may have its structure with the local management. The next stage determines the level of interaction structure with other teams within the company. This level, like previous one, is virtual. It is not considered in the company structure, but it is important for us to understand not only our internal team structure, but also the external perimeter, where everyone with whom pre-sales interacts is marketing, sales, product, and implementation. The structure should reflect all external resources with which pre-sales interact and the entry points in these teams. Also, if there are the internal processes that simplify the interaction, they should be described in the structure. A clear structure is one of the best gifts you can give to your team. If it is clear and well thought out, employees know what they are doing and why. This allows the team to focus on work, not on the inventing and organizing work processes on the go. What aspects do you focus on when building your team structure? How do you prioritize? In conclusion, it is essential to define the role the leader plays within the structure. Will the leader also act as an expert in addition to the primary responsibilities or managing the team? Type of structure. When building the pre-sales team, I prefer hierarchical structure. This can be simple hierarchy when all pre-sales staff report directly to the manager. Or it can be multi-level structure where, for example, the head of the architects reports to the global head of pre-sales. Ideally, my structure is the combination of hierarchical and functional, where the functional components allow for the creation of specialized groups. Please avoid creating the rigid structure that causes pre-sales team members to feel micromanaged and lack autonomy. It's important to note that the small teams and the functional structure have its own interests and tasks that must be taken into account to avoid conflict with overall goals of the team. Additionally, within the functional structure, it is crucial to ensure constant interaction with other team members. Working in isolation may prevent members from seeing a bigger picture. Team size. The size and structure of the team depends on the size of the business, sales activities, and other factors. I do not advocate for any specific average numbers or ratios. The team leader should determine the necessary number of the employees based on the workload, market activity, which is particularly relevant for the regional teams, and experience of the existing team. When building international structure and defining its size, I always try to envision a situation where one or more employees are unavailable and consider how to continue support the sales effectively. For regional pre-sales, it's crucial to clearly define who can replace a regional pre-sales staff member. Important factor includes distance from the region, time zone, and knowledge of the market specific. On top of the overall structure, you can add a layer that shows how replacement will occur or who is in structure can pair for each unit. Such a structure helps to avoid firefighting syndrome and calmly redirect necessary resources in case of the absence. For the employee temporarily filling in, it won't come as a surprise. This approach can be applied for both expert team and team with generalist pre-sales. Regarding internal proposition, I don't see the need to define specific ratios. The number of the experts is usually dedicated more by market requirements, the portfolio of the products and services offered by the company, rather than ratio to architects. The size of the pre-sales team is not solely determined by the pre-sales manager. Defining the pre-sales team size is a broader question that depends on the overall structure of the sales team and even the company as a whole. And now, we are moving to the final part, my 10 solutions. 10 solutions for pre-sales team structure. Please don't look for a logical sequence in these 10 suggested solutions, or assume that each subsequent point is a combination or continuation of the previous one. Instead, consider them as independent recommendations. Solution number one. Establish clear communication channels without intermediaries. As mentioned in the first episode, pre-sales should understand the external structure well and build connection with employees from other departments. It's essential to agree on the communication method for each individual. Some prefer web calls, while others prefer emails. It's critical to find the most convenient communication method for each person. There is nothing worse than your request being bounced from one person to another. The more structural connection pre-sales establish with the overall company structure, the more effectively they will use their time and that of others. Solution number two. Explain the structure to other departments. It's no secret that some employees and their managers prefer to work in-house. Sticking to old ways of pretending everything around them remains chaotically static. They do not welcome changes. This attitude affects other teams too. For example, the sales team was informed about the changes in pre-sales structure, which involves dividing the team into architects and experts. However, sales managers continue to bombard the expert with requests for unqualified demos. To avoid this unnecessary and reiterate the structural changes. After such a reminder, experts can ignore these inappropriate requests. The better external teams understand the pre-sales structure and the order of interaction, the less time pre-sales will spend on forwarding requests and fewer conflicts will arise between teams. Solution number three. Show the employee development path within the structure. When an employee knows their place in the structure and clearly understands their career path, they are generally more interested in development. They are motivated to grow and achieve the goals while the team's goals are met. The manager's task, with the support of the HR employees, is to explain the place in the structure, roles, and career growth path. Solution number four. Clearly define the role of the regional pre-sales. Dealing with different time zones, self-learning issues, and activity in another language makes feedback difficult. To address these issues, it is necessary to clearly define the interaction between regional pre-sales and the central team in the structure. Roles should be assigned, and interaction procedures between pre-sales should be written. The simplest solution is to include the regional pre-sales within the team structure. This requires more careful work if the regional pre-sales are outside the team structure and assigned to the regional structure. This necessitates teamwork with the regional team manager and HR. It is better to do this in advance before hiring an employee. This way, expectations from the regional and central teams for the employee will be aligned, from the goal and KPI to roles and actions within the sales project. Depending on the regional pre-sales level of training, the interaction with the central team could be through an architect or directly with an expert. Solution number five. Decide whether the team will include experts. Earlier in this episode, the pros and cons of dividing pre-sales into the two groups were discussed. I personally see more advantages in the structure with the experts. It is important for me that the expertise accumulates within the team, followed by training of architects and external teams. One such advantage is most detailed and efficient preparation of the responses to complex RFP questions. To save the time, the architect collects the question of more detailed processing and pass them to the expert. The experts in turn discuss this question among themselves. Even though the architects act as an intermediary in this process, the overall quality of responses and effectiveness of the architect's interaction within the experts from other teams increase. Solution number 6. Distribute roles with flexibility to change them. The structure is the framework that holds the team works together. It should be clear and understandable, but at the same time, we all know that rigid structure have a major disadvantages. We can look at the design of the airplane or a modern building is seismically active zones. In both cases, there is some flexibility and elasticity in the connection of the materials, which allows for increased resilience. In our case, flexibility is also needed. Even in the clearest structure with the perfect described processes and roles, there should be room for the changes. The leader should have the ability to change the roles and add the new employees or even units to the team when necessary. The more stable the flexible the structure, the quicker these changes, driven by various factors, will bear fruit. Solution number 7. Structure without processes is like processes without structure. It is important to clearly prescribe all interaction and areas of responsibility. Without this, especially as an expert team, there will be constant confusion or even conflict between employees. Many teams successfully use RASI model when building processes. The clearer the processes are defined, the more efficient each new interaction will be, improving the quality of work, a timely internal approvals before presenting this to the client, whether it be presentation or document or the demo. When roles for each unit and their level are clearly indicated in the structure, forming of changing procedures or processes will be more intuitive. Solution number 8. The leader should clearly define their role in the team. This greatly depends on the team's level. In a stronger team, more focus can be placed on management and development. In a young and developing team, the role of playing coach is yield better results. Solution number 9. Avoid including pre-sales in the product team structure. From my experience, attempts to include pre-sales employees into the product teams did not bring the expected results and sometimes ended in the failure. In some cases, this led to conflict between departments. Pre-sales is part of the sales team. For me, interaction with the salespeople is more important than with the product team. Being part of the pre-sales team may lead to big conflict between the internal product task and the pre-sales work within the sales cycle. Engaging pre-sales in the product analysis is a time-consuming task, taking time away from the sales. Solution number 10. Consider introducing separate units for more experienced teams, such as demo, or data repository, or training units. This allows for development of the skills and abilities similar to the expert group. For example, a unit dedicated to maintaining demo stand, developing and debugging standard scenarios, and preparing and testing demos for clients according to script agreed upon with the responsible pre-sale. This way, the product demonstration role will be somewhat divided between the architect and demo expert. What benefit can this bring? A. Continuously maintained and updated system, both with remote access in the cloud and using stationary demo virtualization. B. New functionality set up and tested, available in the latest version, used by all pre-sales. C. Development of standard demo scripts System testing and debugging. D. Filling demo with the meaningful data that is understandable to the client. E. Preparation of the demo stand for demonstration, testing connection, products, etc. Setting up the stands by experts significantly reduce the time needed for demonstration preparation. F. Performing minor system modification to make the demo more effective. J. And of course, quality. Having the pre-sales unit, one or more employees, responsible for demos, we would definitely improve the quality of the demonstrations and minimize the risk associated with the demo stand during the live demonstrations. To conclude this episode, the main things is in the structure is clarity and flexibility at the same time. It is not enough to arrange the internal team. Other teams must also understand the structure and how potential changes might affect existing processes. With enough staff, you can consider introducing additional specialized units, even temporary ones, if there is the area that requires development. Most importantly, all team members should clearly understand their role and level in the structure, as well as their career growth path. With you was Ilya Zinchenko. Until the next episode. Bye.